Would you pray with me? In you, O Lord, have we taken refuge. Incline your ear to us. Make haste to deliver us. Be our strong rock, a castle to keep us safe. Amen. It is a most unusual Mother's Day, not just because of the snow that happens about every 20 years. Snowstorms may delay us from visiting our grandmothers, our mothers, or our grandchildren for a day or two. But the current pandemic has kept us separated for weeks, and it's not changing soon. We are all tired of this isolation, and some, perhaps many, are tired of sermons that touch on it. Karl Barth was a Swiss Reformed theologian whom critics hold to be among the most important Christian thinkers of the 20th century. His comment on the intersection of the world and faith was, quote, "Take your Bible, take your newspaper, and read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible," end quote. Now, I believe, is not the time to shy away from this challenge, but to look to the Scriptures. And today's are a good place to start. The sadness and even depression that comes with missed family visits on Mother's Day, canceled proms, canceled graduation ceremonies, is very real and shouldn't be ignored. Perhaps we think, oh, I don't have it that bad. There are others with greater rights to be disappointed and sad. I don't deserve to be sad. Not so. Your losses and mine are real and not to be ignored. Not being able to visit a loved one in the skilled nursing facility for weeks, or the lost senior spring celebrations, are very real and important. If these losses and others are getting to you a bit too much, you do have support from your local church, your old church family. Give Nancy Graham or Becky a call. We care. We do. The love and care that Jesus had for his disciples is evident in the assurance and comfort he offers in today's reading from the Gospel of John. These 14 verses are a portion of what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse. In this discourse, these several chapters in the Gospel of John, he prepares his disciples and us for what is coming. Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet and taught them about loving others and serving others. Then he lets them know that he is going where they cannot follow and tells them that they must love each other as he loved them. The disciples are naturally confused. In today's reading, Jesus provides words of comfort and hope, promise and plain speech, and a little mincing of words about what is going to take place. In the liturgical year, we are now after Easter, after the resurrection, and Eastertide. It may seem strange that we are reading about events from just before the crucifixion. The words Jesus speaks, however, are not so much about his death or even his rising again or his ascension, but they are about the life of the followers after his ascension. Jesus will ascend to the Father, and so will his followers, and he is going to prepare for them an abiding place. Many of us have heard those first six verses in this gospel at funerals or memorial services. I grew up with a Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am going, you may also. And you know the way where I am going." One commentator, Professor Carolyn Lewis, is of the opinion that the thought is not that Jesus is speaking of a place, a castle or a collection of places. but rather speaking of being in the abiding presence of God, ascended life toward which the resurrection looks, means God is with Jesus, sharing in their intimate bond and all that intimacy entails. Where Jesus is, there will we be. The disciple Thomas, always a literalist, as are most of the rest of the disciples, has specific questions. He wants a map, a diagram, turn-by-turn directions, perhaps even GPS coordinates. Jesus responds with one of his I am statements, which have served to define him throughout the Gospel of John. We need to look at this I am statement among the others. Jesus said, quote, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. These are inclusionary statements, not exclusionary. I am the way, the truth, and the life has often been taken out of context by some and made exclusionary. It is not exclusionary. This statement is to give comfort to the disciples. They are not on their own, Jesus tells them. Neither are we on our own. It is a promise that Jesus is all they need. No need to panic. They don't need a map. Neither do we need to panic. The challenge that Jesus gives his disciples in the later verses is a big one. It says, quote, I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. What? The disciples were to do even greater works than Jesus? We are to do even greater works than Jesus? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We can't raise anyone from the dead. We can only work as a nurse or a physician or an EMT. Jesus fed 5,000. We can't feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. We can only work in a food pantry or the Samaritan Center or at St. Peter's and St. John in Auburn. Or we can contribute to these efforts. And we can pray for those people among us who do these small miracles. We can also join in this parish's prayer team, Prayer Times 3. Contact Nancy Graham for more information. There's space for everyone. There was a woman a while ago who prayed a lot, all the time. She prayed during another pandemic. Julian of Norwich was the first woman who wrote in English and whose writings have survived. I'm reminded of her because the Episcopal Church honors her every May 8th, 2 days ago. Julian, and we really don't know her actual name, was about 30 years old when she became gravely ill, received last rites, but miraculously recovered. During her illness, she saw visions of the Passion. She decided to become an anchoress, a solitary, and became an important spiritual advisor and a mystic. This was during the time of the Black Death in Europe, another pandemic. Some believe that Julian was a young mother whose whole family had been wiped out by the plague. In these horrible, horrible times, she became one of the most important persons in Christendom, giving hope to many. Her writings are most appropriate to read in our current time and with our current challenges. I'll quote just a small portion of something she wrote. Quote, Jesus wants us to understand 4 things. First, that he himself is our ground, the soil from which we grow, the foundation on which we are built. Second, that he guards us and keeps us safe when we are in the midst of sin, when our own choices allow our enemies to surround us, when we do not even realize our own needs. Third, that he guards us with care and kindness, showing us where we have gone astray. And fourth, that his presence is always with us, and his loving gaze never wavers, for he wants us to turn back to him and become united with him in love, as he is with us. End quote. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus challenges us to do greater works than he did, as much as we can, with his help. For as St. Julian said, in one of her better-known quotations, all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen.